Good morning, everybody. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Before we start, just to let you know that in celebrating Alfonso's baptism, today Chris and Andrea have actually offered, they're paying for all the coffee. So you can have 3, 4, 5, 6 coffees.
For a baptism.
And the coffee shop has decided to charge double. And not only that, but Chris has brought cake for everybody. Yes, hold on. But Lizzie is from a part of Germany that are worse than the Catalanes. And she says, no, we are charging €1. But I want you to know that all those euros are going to the nursery downstairs. Okay, so just so you know. And anyway, Ephesians chapter 3. Let's open our Bibles there. Let's read together in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might, with power, through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all the generations, forever and ever. Amen. I have had this passage on my heart for the last few weeks, but because we were going to John, I felt like, oh my goodness, I don't want to just skip John. And then we had Easter, and then I was like, oh no, And then all of a sudden, Alfonso gets baptized, and we thought of how we would share this with the congregation. And I thought, my goodness, I think this is my opportunity to teach this passage because I think it really fits. You see, Alfonso, my son, Hugo, Carlos, the young guys, they are here in the church and they are growing. And there is a real growing that's happening bodily. I'm watching my young, you know, Jonathan turning into a little man. His voice is changing. He's growing. I can almost hear him growing at times. And there is a sense, you know, where you grow and you're really concerned about your body and how it is growing. You know, we have people in the church that go to gym. Alfonso goes to the gym. Jonathan goes to football. And there's a sense of, okay, I want my body to grow. And listen to this. I want my body to grow strong. And 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having a promise of the life that now is, and that which is to come. So in other words, when you go to the gym, it is profitable. Just for the first time, I was in the military and I used to run every day at 7 in the morning. We get up, run every day. And then I got out of the army when I was 22 and I didn't run until this past year and I'm 51. But it was hurting to turn in bed. I mean, literally, I would sleep and it would hurt to turn in bed. And I realized that I just wasn't active. Bodily exercise is absolutely necessary in our life. But I think we would be able to say that we can sometimes focus a lot on body exercise and not realize also that there's a spiritual life in us that needs to be strengthened. Let me read this to you. Charles Duke one of the only 12 men to walk on the moon. He was the modular pilot of the Apollo 16 mission, one of 12 men to walk on the moon. Imagine the training he had to go through. He said this, "After walking on the moon, I was bored." I mean, what do you do after you walked on the moon? "Fame, fortune, a spot in history, I had it all. But if you had been a fly on the wall in my home, you would have seen that I wasn't so hot. I was failing miserably as a husband and father. Though I had gone to church all my life, I had all of God I needed in the 1 hour every Sunday morning. Even the moon had not been a spiritual experience. I wasn't looking for God. I only knew Jesus the way you know the U.S. president in name only. My business succeeded and the money rolled in, but I was bored again. My wife had changed, depression lifted, and she demonstrated a new living faith. She turned to God. And I began to ask who Jesus was. All my days I had to say the words, Son of God, but I had never trusted him. I then followed and trusted him." And then listen to this. This is my favorite part. "It cost the government $400 million for me to walk on the moon for the 3 days, and it is over. But to walk with Jesus is free, and it lasts a lifetime." But you see a man to train hard his body to go on the moon. But his inner man was weak, empty. And so that's why Paul, who writes the Ephesians, he says, "You were dead in sins and trespasses. Now you've come to know the Lord." And he says, "And I pray." Now listen, when the Apostle Paul prays, my ears are like a dog's ear. You know, it's like when I say in my house, treat. You want a treat? My dog goes, huh? When the Apostle Paul prays, listen, you pay attention. Because whatever he prays, you know that you know that you know that you know that that's God's will for your life. So when Jesus says, "Anything you pray in my name, and until this day you have not prayed anything in my name," I'm telling you, the moment you see Paul's prayers, you can be sure that you pray that, and that's praying not only in the name of Jesus, but in the very nature of Jesus. And listen what he's asking here. Actually, before we see what he's asking here, let's look at what he's not asking in the text. Notice that the Apostle Paul does not pray for him to be released from prison. He's in prison when he writes it. And he's not saying, "Hey guys, pray for me that I will be released." He's not praying, and we know that they have marital problems. We know that the Ephesians had lying problems and stealing problems and sexual immorality problems. There's all these problems because he tells them to stop that stuff and to change and to grab a hold of something better. We know these problems are there, and he's not praying for the problems to go away. Not saying that he didn't pray for those marriages and for those situations, but it is not the priority. You see, the prayer is a spiritual prayer. It's like when Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you." So in other words, don't worry so much about the circumstances being made easy. Worry about your inner man becoming strong. Afonso, you don't really want a coach that makes everything lighter for you. "Oh, no, no, don't lift that. It's too much. No, don't push yourself." No. You want someone that knows how to give you the right diet. You want someone that knows how to give you the right weights, the right rest days. You want someone that's actually going to know what's going to help you grow strong, not to make the workout lighter, but to actually make it perfect, perfectly designed for you to work out. And the problem is, sometimes we lose sight of the process of what God wants to do in our life. Note that Paul does not make light of the problem. I have a friend, I called him this week. Over Christmas, his 8-year-old girl was diagnosed with a brain tumor. They removed it, they said it was probably benign, and then he got the news that is actually one of the worst cancers a person can have in their brain. And the doctor told the wife, and he wasn't able to go to the doctor that day, and said, at the end of the day, what we're doing is just trying to prolong her life. And they went to the town and they ran into some Christians, and sometimes Christians are the ones that can have the most superficial words in the world. And they said to her, you just got to trust God. The Bible, Paul does not make light of the problem. The problem is heavy. This girl's situation is heavy. The parent's situation is heavy. It's big. Paul doesn't make it. And this is the thing. The Bible's realistic. It's not. It's not a simple optimism that just it does not look at the problem and just is just happy and cheery. No. Or pessimism that looks at the problem and just is dismayed. The Bible and Paul speak of an optimism that's able to look at the facts as bad as they are and still see a God that is greater. And here, the Apostle Paul's not praying and asking for a method for things to change. He's actually praying for God's strength to strengthen the people. A prayer for growth, a prayer for strength, a prayer for every Christian. But why? Why does the inner man have to be strengthened? Why do we have to be concerned inside of us? What happens not only outside of us, but inside of us? Why a prayer for strength? Why a prayer for every Christian? Why the strengthening of the inner man? I'm going to give you a couple reasons. Number one, my goodness, this is going to be really short today. You guys are going to be really happy. But number one, because no matter how old you are, when you become a Christian, you have to be strengthened in the inner man, because everybody, when they are born into the kingdom of God, when they are born as a Christian, when they are born again, is born again like a baby. You know, you see I was thinking about this. I was thinking of little babies. They're dependent on everything. Can you feed me? Can you put me to bed? Can you do this? They are strong. They are strong as strong as they can be at their age, but they need the mom. They need the dad. They need the support. They need to be picked up. They need to be put down. They need to be taught to walk. And then next thing you know, they're running. And next thing you know, they're eating more than you eat. And then but they need to be strengthened. They need to grow healthy. And in our lives, we need to realize that there's a growth process going on. When I became a Christian, I there's a lot of things I didn't know, and I needed so much support. And it needed to be a healthy environment. We're born as babies, weak, ignorant, naive, without immunity, need of parents to protect us, not aware of dangers, and false hopes. And it's amazing how the Lord protects us from certain things for a time, but then he allows certain things in our life for us to flourish and grow. I'll give you an example in the Bible, Exodus 13, 17. It says that God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And then although the way to the promised land was shorter, he did not take them that way because of the warriors that were there. that they would become afraid and turn back and go to Egypt. So he actually took them a different way so they wouldn't see the attacks of the enemy, because they weren't ready. But a time might come in our lives where we are ready. And God allows certain things in our life because he wants us to be stronger. Now listen, not strong in ourselves, but strong in the Lord. In John, in 1 John, it says it refers to children. It refers to young men. It refers to fathers, because there's a gradual change of a maturity, of a spiritual growth that happens. Another reason that we have to be strengthened in the inner man is because of the devil. Now, some people see the devil even when you open the window, everywhere. Some people don't see him anywhere. I think they're both extremes. The Bible is clear. He's the adversary. He's the accuser. Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We need to be strong because the enemy is great. I don't think we understand the magnitude of the enemy. So for the young men, my goodness, we need to realize that we're not cruising through life. There's a resistance against us. Not ourselves merely, not other people necessarily. The problem is the struggle of principalities, of powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. The devil can quote scripture to us. He can reason with you. He can put arguments. He can present the case. He can confront you. He can, with an appearance of truth, he can lead into snares. And I was thinking, and you know, you guys, in Germany, Martin Luther, he wrote a hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And what was he fighting? Listen to what he was fighting. He says, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our help he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient enemy does seek to work us harm. His craftiness and his power, they are great. And they are, and he is armed with cruel hate. On death, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabbath is his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle." And listen to this line. I love this one. He says, "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us." I mean, this is Martin Luther in Germany with the religious movement. I mean, the religious establishment against them, attempting to kill him. And the only thing he wants to do is to rid the religious out of having dominion and power and money, using the people. And he said, when he was confronted, he says, "If God spare my life, I will cause the little boy that pushes the plow to know more of the Bible than you guys talking to the priests." But he realized there was a living enemy. We need to realize we have a bullseye against us as Christians. But it also reminded me of another Martin Luther. Oh my goodness, this is incredible. Because this is so good. I was just like, when I was reading this today, I was just like, I can't wait to share this. But Martin Luther, you see, he gave a speech on the 3rd of April of 1968. He gave a speech and he said, hey, well, let me tell you what he said. Well, on the 4th of April, 1968, at 6 p.m., he was on the balcony with Jesse Jackson of the hotel, and a bullet went into his face, and at 7 p.m., he passed away.
But what thrilled me is the day before he gave a speech. And he said, well, obviously there were some threats. He says, well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I have been to the mountaintop and I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. Then he says, and he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I might not get there with you, he said. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And then he said this, and so I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. If you can listen to it, it's quite powerful. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory, the coming of the Lord. Martin Luther King, German. Martin Luther King, American. Working for rights, working the kingdom, and the strength. I think that's what Paul is saying. He's like, I'm praying that you will be strengthened in the inner man, that you will be made strong. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 9. Nehemiah says, there's a great battle. Please, Lord, strengthen our hands. And how? How does this weakness manifest itself in our life? Why do we have to be strengthened? How does this weakness manifest itself? And I'm going to look at three areas really briefly. Number one, the mind. Doubts. You know, your mind attacked. I mean, have you guys ever seen the Kevin Costner movie on Robin Hood? It's kind of an old one. The young people are like, well, Kevin who? You know? But there, I remember when it came out, it was like, it had Bryan Adams, I think, everything I do it for you, you know? It's like, and you had Robin, and he just takes an arrow with fire, and he just shoots it, and it would go to the screen, this fiery dart. That's how I feel 1,000 times a day. I mean, there's arrows coming at me that make me doubt, that make me all kinds of stuff. But doubts plague our mind. We need to be strong to overcome doubt. Depression. You ever wake up in the morning, you're the same person than the day before. Nothing has happened. Nothing has changed. Not a single thing in your life has changed. And yesterday you were happy. Today, you don't even want to get out of bed. And you're just like, what in the world is going on? Evil thoughts. You ever get evil thoughts? Everybody's like, no, you know, no, I haven't. You know, but, you know, sometimes you just get the weirdest thoughts come at you. I have one in my mind right now, and I don't even want to share it with you because it was just, well, no. But it was, I was having a cup of tea with someone, and all of a sudden, I just got this evil thought, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, where did this come from, you know? And you're just like, but our minds, we need to learn how to navigate our minds. Wondering thoughts. Reels. 5 minutes. 10 minutes. 15 minutes. My goodness, 1 hour. Hour and a half. Wow. Instagram. Facebook, another hour. My goodness. Netflix. So let's switch to Netflix. Grab the Bible.
you know, the concentration levels go out the window. You know, it's just like, what distracting thoughts. You know, you go, I mean, I always remember Pastor Chuck always saying that there seemed to be a point of contact between your butt and your brain, you know, because the moment you sit down to pray, you think of something you have to do, you know, it's just like, but the fact that we get so distracted, listen, if we're honest, we can concentrate on so many things. And the moment we try to focus on concentrating on God, it just seems like everything goes out the window. Guys, we need to be strengthened in our inner man's, in our minds, to overcome doubt, to overcome those depression. I'm not talking about clinical depression. I'm talking about those volatile situations in our minds, those evil thoughts and those wandering thoughts. We need to be strengthened in our mind to understand the Bible. When we were talking to Alfonso, we were talking about his sessions with Paul, and I was in a couple of them. And at one point I said, so what was your favorite session? He goes, the one on the Trinity. He says, because it was the hardest to understand. And wanting to train. And I actually told the youth, because at one point he's like, my goodness, the Trinity is so difficult to understand. And I said, well, you go to science class, and it's not like you understand everything. I mean, what in the world? There's a lot of things that we don't understand. We teach what we understand, but it leads us to more questions that we don't understand. Number two, the mind has to be strengthened because of those things we just mentioned. And the heart needs to be strengthened because of fears and imaginations that come against us in our heart. I call it what if land. What if this happens? What if that happens? I remember when we were trying to have kids and doing the whole IVF treatment. My goodness, it's just like, I was like, you know, the women, usually they're on chats talking to each other. And I don't know what the men do usually, but I was like one of the women, you know, I was there. It's like, so they're feeling this. What are you feeling, Loretta? You know, and it's like, I was consumed by it, but there was a real fear. What if this happens? What if that happens? But fear had taken over my heart, not knowing what God had ahead of us. And it's amazing that we are not called to live in what if land. I love the verses, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness, not on what if land. And we need to be strengthened, because when we begin to realize his faithfulness, it liberates us to be thankful today, to enjoy today without fear of tomorrow. And then finally, we need to be strengthened in our wills. January 1st, 2023, 2022. 2021, 2020. How many commitments did you make on January 1st that you did not keep? It's okay. There's no condemnation. This is not a condemnation thing. This is an awareness that sometimes our wills can be weak. They can be feeble. They can be easily carried away. And I tell Jonathan, and I tell and the young people here, listen, don't be a person that your will is easily bent by the multitude. It takes any dead fish can go with the current. It takes a live fish to swim against the current. And when I went to Aberdeen to do Paul's wedding, We did it in, I don't know where what it was. I don't know. It was a restaurant somewhere, and it was out, and there was a river. And my goodness, a dream came true for me to see the salmon going up that
that stream, and the water's flowing the other way, and those salmon, I mean, they're steps, you know, and the salmon, they're just jumping up, and they're cruising up that stream. They know how to go against the current, and we need to be strengthened, because the reality is that many times in our life, we are tempted to sway from what God has called us to do because of weak wills. And so Paul says, you know what, I'm praying that you will be strengthened in the inner man, in your mind, in your heart, in your will. And Phyllis Brooks said this, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be made stronger men. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Listen, do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to the task. And then the doing of your work will not be a miracle, but you will be a miracle. And God is concerned not only about fixing your circumstances, but making a beautiful, strong, loving, godly person out of you. So bodily exercise, my goodness, absolutely necessary. But realize there's a spiritual work that God is doing in our life, that God wants to do in our life. That is to make the spiritual, a spiritual strength to make his men. And listen to what it says. We're finishing. That you will be strengthened in the inner man by his spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And listen to this, that you will be rooted and grounded in love. That song you sang today, Andrea? It's about being rooted and grounded in love. In our marriages, you know what we need? We need to grow in love. In our relationships with our kids, we need to grow in love. In school, when kids are passing naked videos of girls, love is not to jump into bed, the song said, but actually spending, you know, being with someone you love. But that, you know, the whole strength, is not to make a bully out of people, the whole strength, because it takes strength. It takes incredible strength to walk in love. Rooted and grounded in love. So let us be balanced. Can you imagine you only work one side of your body? Tennis players, you ever seen tennis players? They have one arm that's like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they have another one that's like mine. You know, it's just like, and that's a physical one. But imagine if we are like that spiritually. We have bodies that are just tremendous. We have endurance that is just unstoppable. We have determination that is just incredible. To swim across the channel, to swim to Catalina Island in California. Many incredible achievements. But the soul is weak and empty. No, we want to be balanced. We want to love the Lord with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, and with all our heart. And so, listen, this is the encouragement. We can pray this for us. I'm not coming here to tell you, be strong. That would be an oxymoron. It's exactly the opposite of what the text is saying. The text is actually saying, no matter how you feel, and I've been telling a lot of people lately, I feel the weakest as a person I've ever felt. But somehow, I feel like God is doing something, and I feel stronger than I've ever felt. And what we want to do is be able to go to the throne of grace and say, Lord, this Ephesians 3
to be strengthened in the inner man, to know Jesus better, to have him dwell in my heart, to be rooted and grounded in love, and to trust in you who are able to do beyond and above all I can think or ask. Will you please do that in me? Will you please do that in me? How about we pray this together this morning? Father, we are so grateful, Lord, to celebrate a young man dedicating their life to you. And we pray, Father, it just reminds us that a young man growing with all that is ahead, the need that we have to grow, to be strengthened. And I know here in this room, there's people from all walks, Christian, non-Christian, Christian messing around, Christians growing, Christians weak, all kinds. But Lord, it's amazing that you're able to meet us right where we're at. Lord, my desire here today is that people will connect with you. You've never abused anyone. You've never lorded. You served even to the point of washing the disciples' feet. For 3.5 years, you walked Israel just serving and teaching and helping people. And I pray, Father, that here everybody would realize how wonderful you are. That you didn't come to rob and steal anything from us, that you've come to give life and life abundant. That people here today will realize that everything we lack, you have. And that, like with Charles Duke, we can do great exploits on earth and be lost in heaven. And I pray, Father, that today here, every single person would realize that we have a free access through your cross, through the death that you died, through the resurrection, through the ascension. We have direct access to be able to do business with you directly. I pray, Father, that we would be able to not put walls up, hiding our weakness, but that we would be able to express our weaknesses to you at least and say, I need you. It would be a beautiful acknowledgement of our lack of strength, spiritual strength in our minds to know you. And that you will pour out your spirit here today, and that Jesus, that you would be exalted, and that you would be seen as the one who loves, as the one that's able to strengthen, as the one who saves, as the one who's our true friend, of the one that brings true hope, of the one that redeems, of the one that is able to cause us to walk in love. After we realize just how incredibly passionately you've loved us. Have your way with us, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's amazing. Charles Duke. Look him up. It cost the government $400 million for me to walk on the moon for 3 days and it is over. But to walk with Jesus is free and it lasts forever.